Let's pray. Lord, we just come as your people this morning, having heard again what our Lord suffered for us. Lord, as we ponder these great things, we pray that you would speak into our hearts, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, thank you for what our Savior did for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ it's incredibly moving, isn't it? Yes. You know, whenever you hear it, it's you can't help but be affected by it. You know, think about this. The Son of God willingly submitted himself to torture, to humiliation, to death, so that you and I could be saved and reconciled with the one true God. It's an historical event that took place on our earth that the world needs to hear about. The world needs to hear about what our Savior did for us. You know, when my family and I moved to Orange County 2 years ago, people bombarded us with all kinds of recommendations. They were telling us where we should live. They were telling us places that we should go. They were telling us what restaurants we needed to eat at, all kinds of things. And have you noticed that it's just a normal part of life? You know, we like to make recommendations to people. You know, we find something, we discover it, and we want to share. You know, so if we find a good restaurant that we eat at, we want to tell others about, wow, this is a great place that I just found. Or if we have a doctor that's particularly good at diagnosing ailments, isn't it amazing how we just want to tell our friends about it? Or if we find a good deal on a cruise or a flight, you know, we got to tell, you know, somebody about it. Or even if we find a shortcut to a popular destination, if we find out that somebody's going there, we want to be sure to tell them about it. And so making recommendations, telling others about our discoveries are just an ordinary part of our life. And the same thing is meant to be true about our faith in Jesus. We've discovered something precious that we share. So today we're concluding our sermon series called Lessons from the Wilderness. And we've been focusing on the lessons that the Lord taught the Israelites as they were delivered out of slavery into Egypt and were being transformed into the people of God. And we've seen that there's many lessons that they've learned along the way. But today we find one that's particularly relevant for us, that we are to share with outsiders the things that we've seen God do. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses. Exodus 18, verses 1 through 12. Now, last week, you'll recall, the Israelites found themselves being attacked by the Amalekites, and they had to defend themselves. And this week we find a very different interaction between the Israelites and a Gentile. The contrast between Amalek of the last passage and Jethro in this one is the difference between being at peace with God through faith and being at enmity with God through pride. Amalek chose one path and Jethro chose the other path. And so these two different accounts were placed one after another to demonstrate the difference in attitudes of people toward Israel. In contrast to the Amalekites, the Midianite Jethro was warm in his welcome to them. And here represents a lesson for us. You know, that in our comings and goings in life, people are going to react differently to God. You're going to have those people that are antagonistic to the Lord and to you because of your faith in Jesus. And then you're going to have other people who, you know, who are just drawn to you in some way because they sense in their spirit something they desire, but that they want desperately. And so we must be prepared for the various ways that people are going to respond to us and take the time to invest in those people who welcome you and show you peace. Now, the last time we heard about Jethro in Exodus chapter 4, Moses went to his father-in-law after the burning bush, and he asked for his blessing as he returned to Egypt. And even a lot has happened since that time. And now Jethro, who is a priest of Midian, has heard from very far off about God and the things that he's done to bring Israel out of Egypt. What the nations were hearing produced a lot of fear and terror. But what Jethro heard caused him to want to go and find out more. And so he goes to his son-in-law, Moses. Jethro was the first in the line of a number of Gentiles that we find in the Old Testament who've heard about Israel and the things that Israel's God has done. So when Rahab heard, she did not need to go anywhere. They came to her, and she then began to see the things that she'd heard with her ears. But the Queen of Sheba, she heard, and she traveled a great distance so that she could see the glory that God had given Solomon. And all three, Rahab, the Queen of Sheba, and Jethro, would be able to say, along with Job, in Job 42:5, I had heard of you, and by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Jethro had heard about the miracles, the plagues, the parting of the sea, of the manna and the quail that the Lord had provided. He may have been told about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and the water that came gushing out of the rock. He would have been told about the war with the Amalekites. And hearing these things was enough to excite him to action, to go and see what the Lord had done. Now, in this chapter, we get a very clear Old Testament presentation of the gospel, an example of personal evangelism. Moses was witnessing to his father-in-law. But before we look at just how he witnessed, I just want to point out a few things about the way that Moses treated Jethro. So look at verse 7. And there it says, Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. And so itself is a display of interest. You know, he clearly was interested in Jethro. And then it says he bowed down and kissed him, a clear sign of both respect and affection. Moses was generally concerned about Jethro. It says they asked of each other of their welfare and then went into the tent. And this was probably Moses' tent. And so there was hospitality and intimacy that's indicated here. You know, it's just a few short details, and yet we're able to begin to see a lot that can inform us as we think about evangelism and sharing our faith. I'm not saying that there's never a place for us to sow a seed and to just broadly share with those that are stranger. But generally speaking, those that we're trying to reach with the message of Christ are those that we already have a relationship with, people that we're genuinely concerned about. And to those people, we give of our time and our comfort to them. We have them into our home, and we take a real interest in their welfare. We show them respect and deference. We're even open to learning from them. This is oftentimes not very easy. You know, to connect with people outside of the faith, outside of the church, you know, isn't always easy because there's real barriers that separate us from them, isn't there? And they can be in all different kinds of ways. I mean, things like lifestyle, age, race, ethnicity, education, political affiliation, addictions, or sexual orientation. And some of these barriers, you know, just represent the diversity of human beings that God created. And others clearly represent sinful behaviors. In spite of these barriers, underneath all people are the same. We desperately need a Savior. Amen. And that revelation must keep us humble. We are no better than anyone else. We are all saved by God's grace. And yet we find ourselves often judging people because of the ways that they're different from us and the way that they live their lives. Our judgments can create additional barriers. So not only do these barriers exist, but then our attitude toward them and our judgments toward them create even more barriers. And it's easy for us to demonize people who are just different than ourselves. Judgment can come in different ways. We can even judge people as we're praying. But I want you to listen to something that Paul says to the church at Corinth. And I think this is a passage you have to know, and I want you to look it up. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. So this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And this is what he says. He says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders?" And he means people outside of the church. "Is it not those inside of the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside." Now, Paul is making an important distinction here, one which the church today often does not make. For those that are outside of the church, those who do not know the Lord, we are not to judge them. Yes, they may be involved in sin. Yes, they may be doing really evil things. But our role is not to judge the world. That's God's job, not ours. Rather, we make ourselves available to them, even learn to love them, in order that we might earn the right to share the good news of Jesus Christ to them. You know, Jesus said something similar. He said in John 3:17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So nowhere in the Gospels do we find Jesus judging the Romans. Nowhere do we find him judging secular society. You know, the Romans were known for their violence, their cruelty, their immorality. But who does he judge? The religious authorities. Because they were the ones who were supposed to know who he was. You and I were once sinners in opposition to God. All of us were. But God in his mercy had showed compassion on us. And therefore we must have compassion on those that stand outside of the church. Our role is not to change people. Our role is to proclaim the truth and leave the rest to the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts and transforms and changes people and brings them to genuine repentance, not our judgments. There was not an air of superiority in Moses at all. He honored and he admired Jethro, a religious man, a man of medium. He was a priest to a pagan god. But that was not simply enough. Moses wasn't content to just to spend time with his friend. It wasn't enough to just reminisce about old times or to learn from him. He was not trying not to offend his father-in-law, because Moses had something important to share with him. So now look at verse 8. It says, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. So that word told is more precisely translated to proclaim in Hebrew. And it's actually the same word that is used in Exodus chapter 9:16, when the Lord declares his purpose for the Exodus. And there the Lord said, that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. And so Moses is proclaiming as the Lord desired it to be proclaimed. So prior to this, Jethro had heard about God in a general sense. So he knew Elohim, and Elohim is a generic name in Hebrew for God. And he knew that Elohim had done great things for Moses and Israel. But Moses would reveal that Yahweh is Elohim. It is Yahweh who had brought Israel out of Egypt. And so Moses is careful not to talk about himself or his accomplishments, but rather he put the spotlight on the Lord. Everything that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to Egypt, and how the Lord rescued them. And while he did mention the distress along the journey, he did so in a way that exalted and magnified the Lord. You know, this is the very first case of evangelizing anywhere in the Bible. Moses was giving testimony of the goodness, the glory, the power, and the supremacy of Yahweh, the God of Israel. You know, evangelism is not about the person or his experience in life, but it's about God and what God has accomplished in history. Francis Schaeffer used to say that we must present the gospel not first as something that is helpful, but as something that is the truth. And as such, it doesn't depend on my feelings or my virtue, but on objective facts. Moses was proclaiming what God did in history. Something big, something massive, something public, something inescapable had happened in Egypt. The Lord had saved them. For many Christians, they think evangelism is about sharing their faith instead of sharing the faith. We often share our experiences about God. I found such peace. It gives me joy. I felt an overwhelming sense of God's presence when I was praying, or I just knew that he was real. But that's not evangelism. As the Apostle Paul says clearly in 2 Corinthians 4:5, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's an important lesson for us to remember. We're proclaiming something that actually happened in human history. It's not just something that somebody can say, well, it's nice for you, but it's something that actually happened so that it impacts every human being. Well, upon hearing what the Lord has done, Jethro came to the realization that Israel's God is greater, more powerful, more involved with people in people's lives than any of the other Midianite gods. Here's what he said in verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel angrily. We don't know how Jethro's confession impacted the rest of his life. You know, what happened 1 week later? What happened 1 month later? Or 1 year later? You know, did he return like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and evangelize to his people? But this we do know, that Jethro brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to the Lord. And Aaron came and all the elders to Israel to eat a meal with Jethro in the presence of God. It's a picture of what occurs at the end of redemptive history, when all will eat in the presence of the Lord, both Jew and Gentile, who have been saved by faith and faith alone. And so here we have a Midianite. It was a Midianite, you remember, that sold Joseph into slavery, who deceived Israel at Peor, and whom Gideon was called to fight against. Here is a Midianite who is engrafted into the covenant people of God. The promise first given to Abraham that through him and his offspring all the peoples of the earth would be blessed was coming true. This God is for all people. And the great salvation that he has accomplished in Christ is meant to be proclaimed as truth to all the nations. Let's pray. Lord, as we hear afresh the passion of our Lord, it humbles us, not only because it makes us realize what you've done for us, but to those that you've entrusted with this revelation, with this truth, you've called us to share with the world, with the nations. And so, Lord, we just first of all say, Lord, we're sorry that we have been negligent in doing that. But we also say now that, Lord, as we come into your presence, reveal those people in our lives, Lord, that you are calling us to share this truth to. Put their names into our minds and heart. And Lord, for those that may be here, that have never bent their knee toward Jesus, who've never embraced him as their Savior, I just want to invite you to do so now. What Jesus did for us is meant for all people. Jesus died for us that we might have life, and that's meant for everyone. I just invite you to give your life and just to embrace Jesus as your Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.